Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. The last few weeks, we've been talking about the purpose of the church. It's important to understand what you are a part of. It is more than just coming to church. There is being the church, and that's what God wants us to understand. There's a vision that Jesus gave us in Matthew 18. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. It was conceived in the heart of God. It was vision casted by Jesus himself. And so it's important that we not just come to church on Sunday, but that we really understand what it is to be the church. So we've been taking a look at that over the last few weeks. If you've missed it, you can catch up on the website so you can know what we do, why we do what we do. Because a lot of times you're going to be asked questions and by people that don't understand the church, or they're trying to figure it out for themselves, and they might ask hard questions to you. That's why we teach on these things, is so that you will know what the vision that Jesus casted for his church. We've talked about the importance of community, how you can't do Christianity alone. We've talked about the fact that God is building something. From the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, God is a designer. He is a creator, and he's creatively designing something in the earth, and it is his people. It is his church. We talked about the protection and the victory that comes with being together. We sang about it today. We are undefeated. When we come together, not even the gates of hell will stand against God's united people. And today I want to talk to you about another aspect of our purpose as the church, and that is to save and disciple. Look at somebody and say, save and disciple. In the book of Luke, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. So Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Our work as the church, the purpose of the church, is to seek and save those who are lost. We're continuing the work of Christ when he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. What has been lost? Well, God's original design is what has been lost. His design for mankind. What has been lost? Precious people that God loves. That's what's been lost. They've gotten lost in the circumstances and lost in sin and lost in deception that clouds our culture. They become lost in the lies that the enemy produces. The purpose of the church is to seek and save those who are lost. Look at somebody and tell them, the purpose of the church is to seek and save those who are lost. Sometimes we can get confused about our Christian faith. We might think that it's about us, about being on a good reading and prayer schedule and coming to church on Sundays. It's more than that. It's about seeking and saving those who are lost. Jesus told several stories about this. One of the stories is of the lost coin. You can find it in Luke 15, 8 through 10. He said, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she'll call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I've found my lost coin. In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So God wants us to understand what the language, what the atmosphere, what the culture of heaven is, that all heaven rejoices when just one person finds faith, or that was lost is found, rediscovers their faith when a sinner repents. So God wants us to know how valuable we are to him. We are his treasure. In Deuteronomy 7:6, he says, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. God describes his people as his very own possession. We are his greatest work. Ephesians 2:10 says, We are created in His image. Genesis 1:27 says, we are God's treasure. So Jesus tells us the story that someone who is lost is like a treasure that has been lost. And the heart of God is to find that lost treasure. When that person is lost, the whole house should be swept and searched until the lost is found. And when that what was lost is found, this is the reason for everyone to celebrate. Right after this story in Luke, Jesus follows up this story with another story. That story is the prodigal son story. Again, for the second time, Jesus frames how important the lost coming back into the family is. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. In this story, the shepherd leaves the 99 to pursue the one. This shows how valuable the one who is lost is to the Father. The shepherd will not rest until everyone who belongs in the family of God is rescued from the enemy. Our job is to be like Christ and have that mindset that we go after the ones that are lost. This is what it is to be the church, that we have the mindset of Christ, right? And we go after the ones that are lost. It doesn't matter how many are here in church on Sunday or next Sunday or on the big Sundays. Our hearts should still burn for the ones that have yet to come to Christ. That's the heart of the Father. That's the vision of the church, to seek and save those who are lost. This is the heart of the shepherd, leaving the 99 to pursue the one. Even if most everybody is saved, even if most everybody in the city finds Christ in his coming to church, the heart of the Father is to leave the 99 to pursue the one who might still get in. So the purpose of the church is to find those who are lost. And to find those who are disconnected from God and help them connect with God. To help those who do not know Jesus. Help those that do not follow Jesus as of yet. To come to the foot of the cross and discover the beauty and the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. To find that Jesus is Lord of all. But that's not enough. Just that people find Christ, that the lost are found. Jesus wants us to understand the power of walking with people. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. This is the process of walking with others in Christ. This is the process of discipleship. Right. We are to go into all the world. Our job is not just to get them to church, but also to walk with them.
There you go.
This is the purpose of the church. Not just to get people saved. When people have gotten this wrong, when the church has gotten this wrong, we get a big influx of people, right? Over history, big influx of people. They don't really get a root system in God and they end up falling away. So it's not enough just to get them to church, but to walk with them. What good would it be if someone comes to faith only to see them later fall away? New Christians need a support system.
Yes.
Discipleship is about a support system. So one of the purposes of the church, besides saving the lost, is discipleship. It's walking with people in their faith. Why do we talk so much about hope groups? Why do we do that? Why do we talk so much about foundation classes? Why do we talk so much about these things? Because we have a mandate not just to seek and save, but also to walk with people. To see them grow stronger in their faith. To see that they are discipled into the pattern and the pathway of Jesus. We all have this responsibility, whether we know it or not. It's not just people that walk around and have titles. It's not just people that have official positions in the church. It's all of us as believers. The church has a responsibility to help people grow in God.
Right.
Not just get saved, but to grow in God. And the more that you become a part of the church, the more you're going to feel that responsibility. The more that you grow in God, the more you're going to feel that mandate become personal to you? The responsibility to disciple others. The responsibility to take a few people under your wing. Maybe even lead a small group. First you are discipled, then you disciple others. This is the ultimate pay it forward situation.
Yes.
Right? This is the ultimate pay it forward situation. I have received the good news of Jesus, therefore I want to share the good news of Jesus with others. I'm paying it forward. Someone walked with me, therefore I want to pay it forward and walk with someone else in their journey of faith. And this is the beauty of God's community. This is the purpose of the church, to save and disciple. And this should never stop. We should never stop discipling. You never age out of needing to disciple others. You never age out of needing to be discipled. And so this is the truth. Always have someone to disciple and someone to disciple you. Always have someone to disciple and always have someone who is discipling you. This is where explosive growth will happen in your life. Maybe you're saying, man, I kind of been stagnant lately. I feel like I'm in a rut spiritually. Guess what? Start taking somebody that knows less about God under your wing. And let me tell you something. You're going to find yourself growing. Because there's no growth like having the weight of, man, I got to be in the Word so that that younger one that knows less about faith, so I'll be able to answer some of these questions. Always have someone to disciple and always someone to disciple you. How many has ever known somebody that they just stopped growing in life? Maybe spiritually, maybe some other area of life. It's sad, right? To see someone that they just, maybe they said, oh, I know enough, I've experienced enough, and so they just stop growing. Don't be that person. Don't be the person that thinks you know it all, or realize that God is always teaching something new. There's always a reason to have coaches in your life. There's always a reason to be mentored in your life. There's always a reason to be discipled personally. Find someone that can help you learn and grow and grow and grow, and allow them access into your life. Open your heart to be discipled if you want to grow in God. Open yourself for a spiritual accountability. I think that's why a lot of Christians don't grow more, is because they don't open themselves up for spiritual accountability. We live in a culture in America where we want to do things our way. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. And so we never give access to the coaches that could help transform our lives.
Good word.
Right? God wants to put people in your life that will challenge you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Unless you allow someone access to hold you accountable and disciple you, you're not going to grow the same way. I'm not telling you who to allow to disciple you, but I'm saying find somebody that you trust to allow access to hold you accountable spiritually.
That's good.
Keep growing and keep growing others. This is the way. This is the way of the church. This is the purpose of the church. Jesus designed it that we continue to be discipled and that we begin to disciple others. The discipleship process is powerful and it's effective. It has worked for over 2,000 years. It's the growth engine behind God's church, and it works. It has caused people to grow, the church to grow, the vision of Christ to advance. Why? Paying it forward, walking with someone else in their faith. Not just stopping at sharing faith, but saying, I will commit to walking with someone else. So we understand the church, the people of God. Part of our purpose is to save souls and disciple. To help people find Jesus and to help walk with them in Jesus. This is what it is to be a responsible Christian. It is the responsibility we all share as the church. We have to understand the purpose of God. We all share in this purpose. We share it in common. There's nobody that's excluded from this wonderful, beautiful responsibility to tell others about Jesus and to walk with others in their newfound faith. There is beauty when we walk together in community. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 said, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Walking together helps us grow. Walking together challenges us in our faith. Walking together is the Jesus way. Our purpose as the church is to save and to disciple. What a beautiful, what an awesome, what a weighty mandate that God has given us. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Father, for all that you are saying to us in this hour. God, you're reminding us of the vision that you gave us through Jesus, that you would build a church and not even the gates of hell will stand against it, that we're more powerful when we're together, when we're unified. There's protection, there's victory in that. There's the opportunity to share the message, to save and to disciple, to walk with people in their faith. God, let us see the awesomeness of your vision for the church. Let us not try to make the church what we want it to be. Let us not try to make the church something comfortable for us. But let us see the church for what you want it to be. And help us to walk in it. Give us the courage to be the church. Not just play church, but be the church. To love one another, grow with one another, hold one another accountable. To see great things done in our city in the name of Jesus. And our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus, but I want to. I feel like I've kind of drifted in my faith. I feel like I've kind of lost track of my relationship with Jesus, but I want to reconnect with him today. I've gotten off track, but I want to get on track today. If that's you, I want to pray with you. If that's you, slip up your hand. Amen. And if maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever really had that relationship with Jesus like you're talking about, to where I was listening, I was hearing his voice and following him in obedience. But I've never really surrendered to Jesus. If that's you, you can lift your hand too. I want to pray for you too. Either of those things, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everyone that agrees with this, you can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for the times I've missed it, for the times I sinned. I need your forgiveness. Please, Lord, apply the perfect work that you did on the cross for my life. Forgive me. Give me a new start. And give me the strength to follow your commands. I surrender. I want to do it your way. Jesus, be my king. Jesus, lead me. Guide me. And give me the strength to live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today. Wow. That is awesome. And I want to tell you, don't forget to take the next step. We are starting back our hope groups this week. You can join a hope group by finding one on the website. You can ask one of the beautiful people here that are a leader or look like they know something about hope groups, and they will tell you. You can scan the QR code on the back door. You can find information about hope groups because we want to walk with you. We want to grow with you. We are better together. Look at somebody and remind them, you're better when you are together. Amen. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.